The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What is the God able to do in the life of a boy born at 28 weeks, 2 pounds, 10 ounces in 1998? How does the Lord guide and strengthen that child's parents over two decades? And what lessons they learned about perseverance and faith? This is the story of Jeremy and Sissy Sossner. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you. No matter how tough things might be, even now, and there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who gave strength and guidance to Jeremy and Sissy Sossner, is reaching out to you. Our question is, would you turn to him? Would you open your heart to the Lord Jesus? Jeremy Sossner is the principal broker on Oahu for Private Homes Hawaii Real Estate Services. With extensive background in hotel sales and marketing, following his graduation from the University of Colorado. Sissy Sossner is a real estate agent with Coldwell Banker Realty. They both graduated from Punahou School and have 4 children. And Jeremy and Sissy, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Jeremy, where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in New York, a small suburb of Queens called Holliswood, and was raised there till I was 13, and then moved to Hawaii in 1972, which tells you how old I am.
tell us a little bit more about the area you grew up. I think it was Queens. Well, what was that part of Queens like?
Well, it was it's very different from Hawaii, I will tell you that. And, you know, it was a mostly Jewish neighborhood. I was raised a Jew, and most of my friends from school were Jewish. We attended Hebrew school together for 6 or 7 years. Were bar mitzvahed. You know, pretty much the same year. So when we were 13, we all went through that transformation from you know, teen to adulthood. So they say, and you know, we just celebrated a lot of the traditional cultural events from you know, Passover or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, and so on. In a reformed method, you know, we weren't any type of Orthodox Jews. We weren't, we're not kosher. We sat in church or synagogue together. So, it was a very reformed sort of Judaism, if I could say that. And but again, very different from being raised here in Honolulu.
So we
traveled a lot here, so it was not a big change for me when I moved here. But we had been traveling all through my youth since I was born. Seemed to be spending every summer and Christmas in Hawaii. So it wasn't a big change for me in that sense.
So right after your bar mitzvah, you moved to live in Hawaii. What were the circumstances that turned a vacation into a move?
Yeah, my dad was involved in the travel industry back in the 50s and 60s and had been coming to Hawaii since 1959. And we, like I said, came pretty much every summer and Christmas. And when we were 13, it just had come like a normal summertime, but I just never went home. I think what really prompted it was my brother, older brother, getting into school at Punahou and then me testing and also being accepted. And that was sort of the trigger for my folks to just say, okay, we're staying, we're not going back. So.
How about you, Sissy? Where did you grow up?
I grew up on Oahu, in Nu'uanu, and went to school at Punahou starting from first grade.
So both of you are mentioning Punahou. This is the in the 70s, I think it was a very special time. I'm thinking of the name Mosi Tatupu, who was playing football at the time.
Yep.
And then how many people, Lani, can actually say that the president of the United States mm-hmm. was it two years, two classes below them?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right. We knew him when he was Barry.
Yeah. Who would you say, Jeremy and Sissy, you first, Jeremy, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question for me. And in those years, probably my family, my older brother and his friends, my own friends as well. But I seemed to hang out with my brother's friends, or a couple years older than me, played a lot of sports with them. And just kind of a band of brothers causing trouble in New York. So, that was probably the most influential for me.
And you?
This is a hard question. We didn't go to church growing up, but we were close to my mom's sister, my Auntie Mary. So I remember spending lots of time around the dining table with her and enjoying her and appreciating her and being with her. And then I would have some favorite teachers at school. And when I look back, the chaplain at Punahou, I was close to at some point. I think it was in high school. And looking back, I think it was one of those many times when the Lord was tapping on my shoulder to seek him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sissy, when you talk about the Lord tapping you on your shoulder and pursuing you, when did you become a Christian?
I lost a brother in 1986 and gave birth to Michael in 88. So let's see. It was Maureen Purrington. We met on the bus. So this must have been in 87. Mm-hmm. I think it was 87. Mm-hmm. 87 or 88. I think it was after 88, after Michael was born. Maureen had met me on the bus, and we would catch the bus from town to Kailua, and she would witness to me. And mm-hmm. after Michael was born, I found that I really wanted to get to church, and that's when I started. And I remember the first day I walked into Hope Chapel, mm-hmm. it was all over. I remember going home, I'm going to start to cry, and into the kitchen of the house that we're in now and calling Maureen, and I was on the sitting on the floor saying, I accepted the Lord, and, you know, just thanking her. And yeah, it was pretty amazing.
You talk about your brother passing. Was that a difficult time?
Oh, yeah. It happened on Mother's Day. Wow. And we got the call at 8:20 in the morning. I was home with my parents, and my first husband was back east in Boston with my brother, and they had gone on a boating fishing trip, day fishing, and the boat capsized, and that's when we found that my brother was missing.
Wow.
And I remember getting notes from Christian family members or friends saying, oh, God will take care of you. Oh, he's in a better place. Oh, you know, all these things. And as a non-believer, I was really so offended and so angered because I didn't have Christ in my life and I didn't see the grace that they were trying to share with me because the loss was so, so hard.
What difference has that relationship that you sparked with the Lord made in your life, Sissy?
Well, on a good day, I'm a lot more gracious and loving and patient and kind. But, you know, my husband can hear me whine every day and hear the backsliding side of it. But, I mean, I can't
no more than
imagine
I want
life
her,
without
by the way.
Him. No, I mean, just to have him in our lives and to have his grace and the hope that we have in him and the lifeline of prayer, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeremy, how did you become a Christian?
Yeah, I took the long route, actually. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, I grew up a Jew and I was bar mitzvahed and studied Hebrew school. You know, it was years and years later that when I look back at it now, it sort of seemed to be orchestrated. Well, it always is orchestrated by God, but you know, I was just sort of, I wasn't religious in any sense at all. I wasn't even spiritual in that sense. All I wanted to do was, you know, play baseball and as a kid, and I didn't want to go to Hebrew school and I didn't want to study and I didn't want to read Hebrew or any of it. So when I moved to Hawaii and at 13, after all of it, it was just this sort of relief for me. There was just so little influence here of a Jewish culture and community. You know, none of my friends were Jewish. They sort of, I think they found me interesting when I got here. In fact, I remember them thinking I was from Israel or something. They just had not seen or met a Jew. They didn't really understand it. And to me, it was so commonplace because that's all I grew up with. But for years, I just sort of abandoned everything, although I do recall or remember praying from time to time, even into my 20s. Really just had no direction for it at all. Like Sissy, I was always also married previously and for a short time, and then was living on Maui, just sort of climbing the ladder and working for the big corporate hotels and trying to make my way in that business. It wasn't really until I thankfully accepted a invitation to attend a Punahou reunion barbecue where I would meet Tissy and began my long journey towards Christ. Tissy would bring me to church. I went to church with her for quite a while and had met her pastor, Ralph Moore, in Hope Chapel, including you, Lonnie, at the time. And, you know, I know people talk about today about lightning strikes or slow progression. When it comes to Christianity, for me, it was definitely a slow progression. No one hit me over the head. I didn't have an aha moment or Paul moment. And so it was just listening to Ralph and what at the time to me was sort of a very difficult understanding of the Bible. I don't think I even realized that what I'd been studying in Hebrew for all those years, the Torah, was connected to the Bible. That's how new it was to me, and strange it was. But at some point, I looked up, and that was probably in 1996 or so, right after Sissy and I had been dating for about a year or two. And then
after Marina was born?
Actually, no, sorry. Sorry, 19, my years are wrong. We were dating in 92, so it must have been something like 93 or 94. And then the lightning struck, because I was interested in reading the Bible and the stories and the New Testament, and starting to get it. So it just, you know, I couldn't tell you how it just became clear as a bell to me from what was previously gobbledygook as I read it, you know, whether it was Leviticus or Numbers or the difficult Old Testament books. It just suddenly just came to life. And I read it cover to cover and several times, and just couldn't, at certain points, just couldn't get enough. But, you know, at the same time, we were dealing with a lot of personal issues, which we I know we're probably going to talk about soon. And so I just can't see how we would have gotten through it without it. Just had this rock by our side to say, okay, I give up. It's out of my control. It's in your control. And that's how you get through things.
Yeah. Jeremy and Sissy Sossner, we're here today to kind of listen to your testimony. And, you know, Jeremy, you just sharing that slow growth. And, you know, there's listeners out there, our friends and those that they're in that process as well. And the Lord is faithful. And I hope that the testimony that you're hearing today, friends, is one that, you know, sometimes the Lord comes in a moment and your life is changed in a moment. And at other times, it's a slow walk. But nonetheless, the Lord shows his glory and his strength and his promise to you in time for what you have to face. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the very challenging things that the Sossners have faced and been victorious through. We will talk in detail about God's ever-present faithfulness in their lives. Stay with us. We're with Jeremy and Sissy Sossner. You can find out more about Jeremy's business at privatehomeshawaii.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a in studio, co-hosting with Danny Yamashiro. We're here today with Jeremy and Sissy Sossner. We talked a little in the beginning about their beginning. Jeremy born in a neighborhood called Hollywood in Queens, New York, born a Jew and celebrating all of the moments in his life until his bar mitzvah in 1972, where he and his family moved to Hawaii and permanently made residence here. Jeremy and Sissy both attended Punahou School, pursued their careers after graduating from prestigious colleges. Sounds like a wonderful start to a life together. Sissy was able to bring Jeremy to faith, bringing him to Hope Chapel Kaneohe, where they were able to sit at the feet of Pastor Ralph Moore and learn much more about the Lord. Jeremy, before we took a break, you talked about that moment in your life when you read the Word and couldn't get enough of the Word. And tell us a little bit more about your pursuit of the Lord and how your faith grew at that time.
Well, you know, again, it was very, things were so foreign to me. The words were just so meaningless, and I was lost in some of Ralph's sermons, and just by the, you know, just not knowing, you know, I didn't mm-hmm. understand the New Testament. I didn't understand words like gospel and apostles and Thessalonians and Corinthians. It just was just so foreign to me. I don't recall ever having to discuss anything with a Christian friend or Catholicism or otherwise. Again, I grew up in a very, very Jewish neighborhood where we thought Jesus was probably another prophet, if I could even sort of summarize what it meant. Mm-hmm. So this slow progression where suddenly I was reading the Bible and going through even the Old Testament and then into the New and just hearing his sermons. And I don't know where along the road it hit me, but it became suddenly very clear. That was a Holy Spirit moment where I just felt like the Spirit was working on me. And we were surrounded with Christian friends at that time. I think we were doing a mini church, if you want to call it that, a small group study. And just sort of this collection of whether it's daily devotionals or books that Sissy may have gotten me or Ralph's sermons or mini church, just sort of putting it all together, just played this hand in my in my walk and helping me become more faithful and more believing and just accepting his grace.
Mm-hmm. Sissy, when you hear this, and I know I was there at Hope Chapel Kaneohe, and we were definitely in prayer and in small groups as well together. What do you recall about this season? And I know in 1998, there was something very challenging that happened. Tell us about that season, that time.
We were going to church, and I think when we were in group together, that was one of my prayers, is that Jeremy would accept the Lord and start a relationship with him. And we got married, and at the time we were unevenly yoked, and mm-hmm. Ralph wouldn't marry us. Mm-hmm. And that worried me that it would maybe turn Jeremy off or want to not continue to seek the Lord, or, you know, mm-hmm. and it actually had the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. He really saw that Ralph walked the talk and was a man of God, and I think that was good to hear when that happened, mm-hmm. that was his reaction to it. And then we got married, we had Melina, we were going to church regularly, mm-hmm. and then we were going to move to the Big Island, and we packed up our house, and the day that we had our house packed up, my water broke, and at 3 a.m, called the doctor, and she said, you probably should come to the hospital. And that's where it started. So I was 25 weeks. My water broke. Our house was empty. Everything was shipped to the Big Island. We had moved. We were working. Jeremy was at a hotel at the time, so all our stuff was sitting in a hotel room or suite. And we got hung up on Oahu. And that's when I was in bed for, I can't remember how many weeks. Jeremy probably is better at this.
Four.
Four, okay. And that was like one of the closest times I was to the Lord, because what else could I do? There was no distractions but to pray and read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was great. And I don't think, I know that at the time I didn't think Jeremy was walking with the Lord. And we had Noah, and we, at 28 weeks, and we then had to commute back and forth from Waimea to Oahu, because Noah stayed in the hospital for 23 months, mm. and then we got him home to the Big Island, and I'll never forget sitting down, we were down in the, what we called the dungeon of our house back then, Jeremy and I, and it was late at night, and I remember saying to him, you know, one thing I just wish I had, you know, we're so close and we're so in love. And the one thing I just wish for him was to have a relationship with the Lord. And he said he did. And he never announced it, never said anything, no fanfare. You know, me, I'm crying to Maureen on the phone. And he had quietly accepted Christ at Hope Chapel and never told me. Mm. So that was like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we could pray over Noah together and mm-hmm. deal with him in the hospital and all of the challenges that came mm-hmm. with that. And I always said that Noah gave me the testimony of the power of prayer and the Lord, mm-hmm. love.
Yeah. Sissy, tell us a little bit more. I know you breezed over it, but I know as well, because I was part of that season in your life, that it was very, it was very emotional. Let's go a little deeper in the birth of Noah and maybe share with our audience what were the challenges of his birth and that, you know, the things that you had to decide and decisions that had to be made that the Lord helped you through.
Well, it actually even started when I was in preterm labor at the hospital, and one of the residents in the hospital came, and not the resident, I think he was a student, I don't know what they're called, and said, you know, you're kind of early, and most babies like this that are born, they have medical problems, or they're deformed, or whatever, and basically recommended that I should get an abortion, which is not even on the table for us. So he was banned from my room. And Noah was, because my water broke, I had to stay in bed and was given steroids because we needed his lungs to grow because he was so premature. And then when he was born, the first 24 hours, he breathed on his own. And then they had to put him on oxygen. And I'm not sure, Jeremy's better at this. I'm not sure if that's when he went on the ventilator. So he was born, as Danny said, 2 pounds, 10 ounces, and couldn't breathe on his own. He was oxygen dependent. And we had to make all kinds of decisions. And one of them was, he was born in July, and then January the following year, we had to decide if we were going to give him a trach, if that's right, Jeremy, and a feeding tube. So there were a lot of medical decisions we constantly had to make.
Jeremy, when Noah was born, and I know you were already living on the neighbor island, what was that time like for you?
Yeah, there was a lot of decision making that had to be done, and again, by the grace of God, we just had so much support from Hope Chapel, our friends at Hope Chapel, including you, people in my hotel industry that I'd worked with and for. We had moved out of the house, as you mentioned. It was that same night. We were set up on the Big Island, but we were still here on Oahu. I believe we attended the opening of the convention center that night, is what I remember. And that's how, when this was. And I had just started a new job. I had, was working for the Mauna Kea Resort, which is managed by Prince Hotels. And so we were staying at the Hawaii Prince. And so when Sissy was hospitalized for those 4 weeks, I had the other three kids. Michael at the time, I believe, was 10. Whitney was 8. Marina was 2. So I had three kids in a hotel room at the Hapuna Prince, the Waikiki Prince Hotel, and just trying to figure out how are we going to do this? What am I going to do? Are the general managers
and they kept bouncing you guys around, remember?
Yeah, we had to move rooms because they had other people coming in. But, you know, the guy at the time was Don Takahashi, was one of the general manager of the hotel. Charlie Park was the general manager at the Big Island where I was stationed. And these guys just couldn't have been more gracious. You know, stay, do what you need to do, take care of your family. Family comes first. Don't worry about anything. I mean, it was amazing. Alvin Wong, the director of sales and marketing, became a friend during that time. Super supportive of what I had to deal with. And as was Sissy's parents, who took the kids while I was working and Sissy was hospitalized. There's just so much, you know, happening that was out of our control. And then we had to deal with the medical side of Noah's issues. I think when we first went into, I remember one night going to the hospital, and even before he was born, this is when we first got there, they were talking about his viability, that he was only, you know, whatever, 22 weeks gestation and not viable had he been born that day. And so they said, by Sunday of this week, you guys need to decide whether we should save him if he's born or not. And then after Sunday, then you don't have to make that decision anymore because we will save him. So there was a time when the doctors said, hey, you've got a decision to make up until this day. And then after that day, you don't have a decision. We'll do everything we can to make sure he can try and survive. And it was just so, you know, I was looking at him with like probably stars in my eyes, just going, what did he just say? You know, what do I have to decide? What am I supposed to do? So it's just such a chaotic time. And as was the birth, you know, I remember when Sissy gave birth on the 12th of July, just not being able to breathe. I had to leave the room and just go get some fresh air because I just couldn't. I was just like, oh my God, what's going on? And
Beth was there, which was a gift.
Oh yeah, we had the birth team of the century that was there to help, and again, a lot of Hope Chapel support. You guys have brought us food and brought me, you know, to even a rice cooker and a crock pot and all the stuff that you guys brought to the room so I could feed the kids. I was just amazed. All of that just sort of happened. You know, there was stuff later, even after we went back to the Big Island, because we had to put our kids in school and make a decision to leave Noah behind in Honolulu, and how difficult that was. But we had Hawaiian Air came to the rescue. I was in the business. They heard about our plight and sent us. In those days, we used to have coupons, if you remember, those people that are old enough. And they sent me a whole stack of coupons and just said, you know, here's for your family. We heard about Noah and your situation. You can fly back and forth on us. And it was just, wow. I mean, it was, again, you know, God's hand in all of it to just say this was just so orchestrated for us to have the kind of support we did to get through that time, because we had, you know, a new job, a new house, three kids under the age of 10. as well as a medically fragile kid that was stuck in a hospital on another island. Mm-hmm. It was just insanely, insanely chaotic. Yeah. And again, look, as we describe it now, I've got a smile on my face because I know who came through for us. It wasn't us, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sissy, talk to us about those 23 months. Is that what you said? 23 months of Noah. If I'm not mistaken, he's one of the longest residents of Kapi'olani Hospital as of today. Is that the case?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. We haven't kept track of it. But
tell us about him coming out
of the hospital. Mm-hmm. The first time we got escorted by a intensivist, one of the doctors from the PICU, a respiratory therapist, a nurse, and we got escorted to Waimea. Mm-hmm. From Kapi'olani Hospital, and then we had 12 hours of nursing care. Mm-hmm. Every day when he first came home, he was on oxygen and had a feeding tube. We found a church right away. That was another blessing. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting on the steps every morning waiting for the nurse to come because I was so scared of Noah.
Mm.
Jeremy was always way braver than me, and he really scared me, his medical condition. I'm a wuss about these kind of things. Mm. So when Jeremy had to go to work, I was with this baby, and we would have a nurse, RN, as part of insurance, to cover, watch over him until, I don't know if it was 8 to 8, I think, maybe. And that was a saving grace because just taking care of his trachea and his oxygen and cleaning and all of that was just so intimidating for me. Mm. In fact, Jeremy was braver than me. We got a 50-foot oxygen tube to where we finally, when he was strong enough, could take him to the ocean. And Jeremy would put the oxygen tank and the tube on the sand and take him out to the water. And I was just way too fearful and anxious.
Mm.
So he was definitely braver than me.
Jeremy.
And just there were always... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
No, there were just always signs of the help that we got that came from God. You know, before Noah came home, people from church one day came and cleaned our house top to bottom. I mean, I was so embarrassed because, you know, I was juggling three kids and a kid in the PICU and on Oahu and commuting back and forth, and these women from church came and cleaned our house and helped with food, and just mm-hmm. we had little angels every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy,
as I listen,
go ahead.
As I'm listening to this, I'm just thinking, and Sissy and Jeremy, is that not how the body of Christ ought to live in the way that they've
Absolutely.
Cared for you? And I mean, how touching that
yes.
is.
Yes. It's very humbling, but yes, I mean, that's what you, yes, that's what I want to do if someone is in need, is to help them. So yes.
You know what, Danny, what I think of is you almost don't feel worthy. Like at that point, you just feel like overwhelmed that, wow, how did somebody know to give me tickets to come to back and forth to Hawaii so my wife could fly back every week? And how did somebody know to come, you know, clean our house because she needed it, or send us meals because we needed it? You feel like, wow, you know, it's just overwhelming to the point that we don't deserve this. We struggle. Other people struggle. Other people mm-hmm. have hardships and experience, you know, deaths and illnesses that are just catastrophic as well. And do they get that kind of support? It's just what it was like Sissy said, it was embarrassing at times. Like, okay, you know, It's just so over the top. You can't even describe it. And I guess that's, to me, is the way Jesus is, because Jesus is over the top. And so yes. It makes you want to give back so badly to those people that have helped us and that did all these things, or and just acknowledge the fact that they knew.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy and Sissy, we're going to take a quick break. What a powerful story of just the body of Christ coming together for your needs. And, you know, you said something that touched me, Jeremy, when you said you start to feel so unworthy. And Sissy sharing, it was very humbling. And yet I feel that, you know, when we can break through sometimes the pride that limits us from receiving the help the Lord is sending our way, I think that's when we really understand who we are meant to be in Christ, both receiving and giving as needed in our community. And you all have received so much, but I know that you all have given so much as well. And isn't that truly, as Danny says, the body of Christ? Let us never be too proud to receive or too busy to give. Let us always be available to be a part of the body of Christ. We're here with Jeremy and Sissy, and what an amazing lesson in our role in the body of Christ and how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit more with them when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Lani Ka'a'a here in studio with Danny Yamashiro. We're talking about Jeremy and Sissy Sossner, the birth of their fourth son, Noah, a young man born at 28 weeks, lots of complications in the hospital, but compounded by the fact that mom and dad and three other children lived on a neighbor island and starting a new career, so much to juggle. But in the midst of all of that, the amazing love of the community, of the body of Christ, and in that, making it through 23 months of hospitalization for their fourth-born child, finally bringing him home to Waimea and continuing with some very challenging care. But along the way, again, the body of Christ stepping up, helping them with cleaning their house and providing meals, prayer, a lot of prayer. Tell us a little bit. I don't know who wants to take this question. I'll throw it out there. How is Noah doing today?
I hear silence on the other side.
Jenny, you get to brag. Yeah, you brag.
So Noah will be turning 23 here next month, July 12th. And he's doing fabulous. He's he had been doing great, you know, the last even 15 years or so, since he's passed about his fifth or sixth birthday. The challenges he faces now, he just finished a school program in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, works with kids with learning disabilities and learning challenges, and just helping him towards independence, teaching him academically, but also life skills. And he's living at home. He's got a job with Kailua Beach Adventure, kayak rental company down by Kailua Beach Park. And studied and worked hard to get his driver's permit a couple years ago. Mm. And just a month ago, passed his road test and now has a driver's license, which is just astounding to me. If you had told me that 15 years ago, that this kid would be out there driving by himself one day, it would just, I just can't even tell you how amazing that is to me. But
you might have laughed.
Doing great. I would have probably laughed for sure. And he still has some challenges for sure with certain tasks and certain understandings of, math and science and certain things. But in any event, I think overall he's doing great, and we're just really proud of him.
Praise God for all those wonderful angels, as you say, angels all over. I hope they are listening in and they are hearing the result of their prayers and their time and their service to you both, because how amazing it is that we get to see Noah get his driver's license. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Hey, well, you said you used the word community before, Lonnie, and that's an understatement, because he's had so much support from others to help him get work and to help him get through school and to help him, medically and to help him, socially and just on and on. I mean, just can't no time to name everybody here, but just can't say enough about the community support and the church support. They say it takes a village. Well, in Noah's case, it takes a city.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's had it. I mean, by God's grace, he's had it.
I remember the days that I would go in. There were days when Jeremy and Sissy, you needed to be with your other children on the Big Island. So we had a rotation of volunteers that would go into the PICU at Kapi'olani when you could go in. And we would sit next to his little warmer and hold his little hand. And, to hear that today he is driving and working at the beach and independent, it's a miracle. It's God's little miracle. So blessed by that. Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of the things the Lord has done. I know you faced other things in 2006, for example. Tell us about that time on the Upper Road in Pu'uanahulu.
Oh, God. So I was coming home from a golf tournament, industry golf tournament, and it was a beautiful day in the afternoon. I just remember saying, I think I've got some time to get home. I think I'll take a nice leisurely drive along the Upper Road to get back to Waimea. And Sissy was at home waiting for me with a client. We were having a dinner that night. And I hit a rain squall, and just the next thing I knew, I was just headed for a cliff at the top Pu'u'anuhulu. And I mean, you know, it was pretty devastating, but the car hit the top of the or the truck hit the top of the road and tumbled and went down into this ravine or canyon or whatever, at maybe 200 feet or so. The last thing I remember was just the very last words I said were, you know, "Jesus, help me." That's all I said, because I knew I was going over. And I don't remember the tumble. I don't remember even the final crunch of the car or the truck. But I landed upside down at the bottom on top of another truck that had been down there for I don't know how long, but it was sort of as we come to find out later, it was a notorious area for these accidents. And so there were several cars that were down there. But I managed as soon as I came to, I could feel my legs. My first thing I said was, "Thank you," because I knew the Lord had saved me and spared me, and He spared me the agony of that tumble and not, you know, and really realizing what had gone on for those 10 or 15 seconds. But I managed to climb out of the car and get hike up to the top of the road, where I knew nobody saw me go off. I knew there was no car behind me and no one in front of me. So my first thought was, you know, that nobody, there's no car, there's no signs of an accident. I'm just standing, this guy bleeding on the side of the road, trying to flag somebody down. And I remember a couple of cars passing me, and then a guy stopped. And next thing I know, Sissy was on the phone with me. And I think the only thing I remember saying to her was, "I'm hurt." And it was just 8 days in the hospital, and just a lot of cuts and bruises, and just a real traumatic accident. But again, we had a lot of support over there from the folks at Mana Christian Ohana, our church on the Big Island, and they certainly managed to get me through it. It was probably worse and harder on Sissy, because again, I left her with four kids at home. And I'm sitting in the hospital with, you know, I don't think I could move for about 2 or 3 months. So it was just a really difficult time. But, you know, to this day, I thank Him for, I don't know why He saved me, but He did. I know He did. And I even recall at times thinking of that accident as if I was sort of above, looking down on the car, kind of fishtailing as it went along the road and then just sort of going off and disappearing off the cliff. I just have that sort of recollection. It's almost I was removed from the truck, thankful that I'm still here. And I was only 45 or so at the time, so got to see my kids finish school and got a chance for Noah to even know me, because he was only 5 or 6 at the time. So it was just one of those crazy, crazy life moments. And again, I know people have gone through crazy times in their life, but I don't know how I would have done it without the Lord in my life.
Well, you have had, Sissy and Jeremy, so many moments of, first of all, long hospital stays, but just really moments of miracle grace that God has shown on your family, and just really giving you clear indication of His love and His mercy. Sissy, I'm wondering if I can ask you to pray. Would you pray? There's a listener out there who might be in that moment that they need God's miracle grace as well. Would you pray for that loved one in our audience?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Lord. Marnie invited us to do this for a reason, and I just pray that our testimony will touch those that need to be touched, encourage those that need to be encouraged, and that they, in their darkness, can see that we had You and all the love and blessings to get us through our darkness, and may this be an encouragement to them. Whatever hardships they're going through, whether it's a baby or a job or a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, You know their needs, and I just pray for your covering over them, and they just feel that you have their back in all things, and they're listening to this for a reason, and may his grace find favor with them, and they feel his love, and just thank you for this time to be, I guess, an example or an encourager for other people that are going through their challenges. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jeremy, you know, you talked about the community, the body of Christ coming together in your time of need. Would you pray for us as well, the body of Christ, that we might learn and be the hands and feet of Jesus?
Sure, Lord. I just want to thank you first for this incredible time to share and be a witness to others. And I thank Danny and Lonnie for putting us on the show, for putting the tough questions to us, but bringing it out of us so that we can share our story and help others. Lord, I want those out there, believers and not, to know that things aren't always going to be easy, but there is a community of people out there that will love and support that, whether they're part of a church or part of a school or part of work, or just part of a neighborhood, Lord, that there are others that will and can step up to help people get through their trials. But more than anything, there's a God that will get them through these trials. Even if they know no one, they're not alone. So I pray that they will come to know Jesus the way I have, the way Sissy has, and know that he will always be there for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jeremy, Sissy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
Again.
Yeah.
Dear one, riveting, riveting words from Jeremy and Sissy Sossner, PrivateHomesHawaii.com. God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ, just as Jeremy shared. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special video presentation for you. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. Psalm 33, verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jeremy and Sissy Sossner, PrivateHomesHawaii.com. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.